Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 138. My name is John. Roam if you want to. Roam around the world. Before I begin this month's podcast, I must take a moment to toast the life of Ned Beatty. Not too long ago, I did a podcast about the movie Network. In a classic film filled with brilliant monologues, Ned Beatty's may well be the best. It's certainly the wildest. He's shouting at Peter Finch's character like a maniacal fire and brimstone preacher, and in the blink of an eye, he's asking if he's making himself clear, as if everything prior was just casual conversation. Of course, fans of action movies remember him for Deliverance, and the nerd culture remembers him as Lex Luthor's sidekick in the Superman quadrilogy. But I will always be awestruck watching him as Arthur Jensen. Rest in peace. I had ideas for this podcast. I haven't talked about the results of the trial for the cop who murdered George Floyd, or the absolute idiocy of some of the politicians afterwards. I haven't talked about any of the foolishness or tragedies that have gone on in the world for a few months. I've been making mental notes of things that I may want to talk about. I thought maybe I'd do one of my hodgepodge podcasts about a bunch of different things. I sat down and began typing, and I could barely get anything out. I just didn't feel like it, so I'll get back to it next month. The only thing now is I need to come up with something that I do want to talk about. I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I run across a tweet from British rapper Zuby, who I recommend following, about San Francisco. I'll share his tweet later because it reminded me about my trip there years ago. Suddenly, I was in the mood to talk about my travels. So, I'm just going to make this whole podcast about places I've been to, in no particular order, and suggestions on what to do while you're there. Prior to my marriage to Gina, the farthest I had ever been from my home was San Angelo, Texas, about 200 miles away. And that was when I was a child, going to a family reunion with my mother and grandmother. Gina and I got married and went on our honeymoon, and that was the first time I had ever been on a plane, in another state, in another country, on a ship, and in a limo. Since then, we've traveled to 37 states and 6 countries together. I've often told people, if I've been there, I could probably recommend a good restaurant. One of the few places that's not true is our trip to Colorado and Wyoming. It's not that we didn't have good food, it's that I don't remember it because my mind was too preoccupied. Halfway through our vacation, Gina started feeling ill, so I took her to an emergency clinic. The doctor treated her and said if she wasn't feeling better, to see him at his regular practice. After a couple of days of rest with no improvement, I did have to take her there. Fortunately, after some additional work, the doc prescribed some medicine that got her back to normal and salvaged the last couple of days. One interesting thing about that doctor visit, he already had several patients seeing him, so we got put in the only room they had left, the children's room. One wall had a giant wallpaper of what looked like a panel from a comic book with the X-Men from Marvel and the new Teen Titans from DC. Now, I knew they had a crossover at some point, but I didn't remember when. We had barely taken 3 steps into the room when I said, "That was drawn by John Byrne sometime between 1980 and 1984. After examining it more closely, I found Byrne's signature and the year 1982. Gina proceeded to remind me, at great lengths, that I'm a nerd. Unfortunately, because of my concern for her health, I barely remember Denver at all. I can tell you that from the first half of the vacation before she got sick, Left Hand Brewery is worth stopping by in Longmont. The old governor's mansion in Cheyenne, Wyoming is surprisingly interesting, as well as the painted boots around the downtown. And you simply must spend time at the Garden of the Gods and take the train from Manitou Springs to the top of Pikes Peak. Maybe I'll get back to Denver again sometime to see the city. That was not our least favorite vacation. Gina's least favorite was St. Louis, because she was unimpressed with all the things on the must-do and must-see lists. And we thought we were going to get mugged when a couple of guys got way too far up in our personal space as I was trying to take a nighttime photo of the arch. Although, we both thought the zoo was very nice. Closest I've ever been to a penguin. As you'll see later, there are some cities we've been to where we liked all the surrounding stuff, but the city itself was underwhelming, or the city in general was nice, but had minor disappointments. Boston seems like a real nice city for the afternoon that we had there, and I really enjoyed the historical sites and the common, but I don't think I've ever been more afraid I was going to get into a traffic accident than when I was crammed on those streets. Faneuil Hall seemed like it was probably once a great place, but has since been overrun with tourism. We went on a Royal Caribbean cruise early on in our travels. Now, as much as Carnival has a reputation for being like the Walmart of cruise lines, at least I had fun when I went on those cruises. The Carnival staff, for the most part, was very nice, but Royal Caribbean staff seemed like they were inwardly pissed off at the world in general, and you in specific. I don't know if that tainted my opinion of the Bahamas, but it is certainly at the bottom of our list of tropical destinations compared to others we've been to. Of course, I just mentioned St. Louis. The arch is interesting, don't get me wrong, but between the lines to get up there, the cost to do so, and the description we got from the people who had just been up there, we quickly decided the exterior view was good enough. Instead, we took a boat tour of the Mississippi River. One of the highlights of the tour that the guide felt the need to point out, amongst the many abandoned and likely condemned buildings, was a giant mound of salt. Ooh. This was also the vacation where I was sitting in a bar with Gina about a quarter mile from Busch Stadium the night the Cardinals won the National League Championship Series. The manager offered to pay for our drinks if I, a Cubs fan, would simply shout, "Go Cardinals!" I paid for my drinks. For me, though, my least favorite vacation, by far, is San Francisco. I told you, I can make recommendations for places I've been to. My recommendation for going to San Francisco is don't. And I can sum it up in three stories. First story. We took a shuttle from the airport into town, basically a minivan. The driver packed 9 passengers and himself into a van that was probably meant for 7 at the most. When we got downtown to drop off the first passenger, we noticed picketers in front of several hotels. The driver explained that there was a strike going on in many of the hotels in the downtown area. Fortunately, that wasn't the case where Gina and I were staying down by the wharf. I'd never actually seen a strike before, so I was expecting picketers marching in circles and chanting demands like you see on TV. We stopped in front of one of the hotels for that first guy to get out. The moment the door opened, the strikers began yelling at us, screaming. As the man got out of the van to go into the hotel, they focused their insults on him. This poor guy said he was only staying there because that's where his job booked him. But the strikers didn't care. They screamed that he was a fucking asshole for being there. Second story. This is where Zuby's tweet comes in. He wrote, Quote, San Francisco is the only city in the world I've been to where I would get dragged into political arguments with complete strangers, with no instigation on my part whatsoever. That, plus the people doing heroin and crack in broad daylight, make it a strange place. End quote. Gina and I were walking down the street. I couldn't even tell you where we were going. But we passed this group of men who were handing out political literature. I politely refused when it was offered to me. The man angrily confronted me for not taking it. Why not? I told him I was just visiting. He yelled at me, "Well, you can read, can't you?" As much as I wanted to yell back, I pulled together as much serenity as I could and sternly assured him that I could read, but I had no interest in local politics, while Gina pulled at my arm to get me to walk away. This time, I was the fucking asshole, among other things, as he repeatedly screamed insults and slurs at me, even when I was over a block away. Third story. It was considered the epicenter for the hippie movement 40 years prior, but walking through there in 2004, I can tell you without any hesitation in my mind that they need to correct the spelling. If they were being honest, they would change H-A-I-G-H-T to H-A-T-E because it truly is Haight Ashbury. From the propaganda on the banners hanging from balconies to the propaganda in business windows up and down the street, it was clear that anyone who didn't fall into goose step with their point of view better keep their mouth shut. The animosity was palpable, and it was one of the very few times I felt uneasy in the pit of my stomach. The place looked like a corrupted mockery of the peace and love message of the 1960s. And that's why you'll have to pay me to go back there. Outside of the city, outside of the Bay Area, we found wonderful places and things to do. But inside, there was bitterness and disdain among the citizens. But I did say I could recommend a good restaurant. For San Francisco, I recommend the Stinking Rose, the only one where our waiter smiled. And if you're truly adventurous, get their garlic ice cream for dessert. In Chinatown, there's a little alleyway with an open door where you can go in and watch little old ladies hand-form freshly baked fortune cookies. They take the little discs, grab the slip of paper with the fortune, and fold it into its distinct shape in less than a second. Be sure to tip. Ghirardelli's chocolate shop is interesting, but only to view the old-time equipment once used to make their confections. If you really want a chocolate experience, go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. The whole damn town smells like chocolate. The streetlights are shaped like giant Hershey's Kisses. You don't really tour the factory. They put the tourists in the tourist area, where you can see all kinds of fun-for-the-whole-family displays about the history of the factory, the town, and chocolate in general. You can pay to make your own chocolate bar, which is little more than a screen where you make your selections for the contents of the bar and the design of the package, and then watch it made on conveyor belt. But you know what? It's fun. We were there on our 13th anniversary, and I lovingly refer to it as Super Happy Chocolate Fun Day. Plus, we took a trolley tour of the town, and our tour guide was a fellow libertarian, so that was a plus. That was part of our Baltimore, Washington, Pennsylvania trip. If you find yourself in Baltimore, you absolutely must go to Dangerously Delicious Pies and have a slice of the Baltimore Bomb, which is chocolate-dipped shortbread cookies crumbled up and baked into a vanilla custard pie. They also have savory pies as well. I went with the pulled pork. If you happen to find yourself in Lititz, Pennsylvania, visit Julia Sturgis Bakery, the world's first hard pretzel factory. Or drop by the Appalachian Brewing Company and grab yourself a Sasquatch burger, which ranks as my all-time favorite, with close competition from the Lair of the Minotaur Burger at Kuma's Corner in Chicago, the Norteño Burger at Hawks in San Antonio, and the Bacon Cheeseburger at Hodad's in San Diego. While you're in San Diego, visit the Chuck Jones Gallery, dedicated primarily to the art of the classic animator. If I ever make it back, that will be on the top of my list. I like themed galleries and museums like that. When we were in Charlotte a few years ago, we went to the Carolinas Aviation Museum and viewed a variety of aircraft, including the Miracle on the Hudson plane. It was a surreal and poignant experience. On the other hand, if you like lighthouses, you can take the 6-hour drive from Charlotte to the Outer Banks to see several, including the famous Cape Hatteras, although I was partial to the Currituck Beach Lighthouse. While you're out there, enjoy some lovely beaches and stop by the original Duck Donut Shop in the town of Duck, North Carolina. I've told you Duck Donuts are my favorite, but if I had to pick a good runner-up, I would go with Voodoo Donuts, which got their start in Portland, Oregon. Portland is a great food city, from the pulled pork chimichanga at Laurelwood Brewery to the Liege waffles at Off the Waffle, which I am sad to say I discovered no longer exists in Portland, but they do have two locations in Eugene. I think every place I ate was above average, and Oregonians in general, and Portlandians in specific, have perfected cooking bacon. But the only other thing fun about Portland, as far as I'm concerned, is seeing all the streets that inspire the names of Simpsons characters. Everything else I liked was away from the city. Take a drive to the east and stop at the many waterfalls along the way, including the iconic Multnomah. If you go in the summer, drop by Kirby Farms for some fresh-picked cherries. Or have a relaxing day at Trillium Lake with an enchanting view of Mount Hood. My absolute favorite part of that Oregon trip was driving out to the coast. I would spend an entire summer there in a heartbeat. Drive out to Cape Mears for the picturesque cliffs overlooking the Pacific. Tour the Tillamook Cheese Factory and visit their ice cream parlor. If they have the salted butterscotch, get it. Just down the road is the Blue Heron Cheese Company with livestock out front for some great photo ops. Seaside is a delightful little town with a great beach. It was 70 degrees for the high, and at night you could smell the bonfires people built on the beach for temps in the mid-50s. The drive up the coast highway to Astoria is beautiful. We went to see the famous Goonies house. Unfortunately, due to some rude tourists, the owner no longer allows people up the private road to see it. That's too bad. Speaking of cinematic history, remember the movie Sandlot, where the kid does a really bad forgery of Babe Ruth's signature on a baseball? That little piece of memorabilia is on display in the Utah State Capitol building. While there, for more traditional American history, take a drive from Salt Lake City out to the Golden Spike. They have gorgeous replicas of the two locomotives that met at the completed Transcontinental Railroad. My grandfather was a railroad man, and I guess that awe of trains I had as a child stuck with me. While you're in the Salt Lake City area, stop by Brugg's for a Liege waffle and some fries. You may have noticed this is the second time I mentioned Liege waffles. These are waffles made from dough instead of batter and are insanely good. drive out to Park City and have a beer at Wasatch Brewery, especially if they have their Devastator on tap. Instead of taking the highway back, take the mountain road for beautiful views and groves of birch trees. Head down to Heber City and take a train ride for a different view of the area. Drive through Ogden and see if you can find all their painted horse statues. If you're in the southeast part of Utah, you simply must go to Arches National Park, one of my all-time favorite days photographing the amazing rock formations. I would love to do that again. Of course, you can also go into Moab, the nearby town, and have a drink or two at their brewery. I just mentioned the painted horse statues in Ogden and earlier the cowboy boots in Cheyenne. You can also search for painted tigers in Memphis, dolphins in Port Isabel, Texas, and sea turtles across the causeway in South Padre Island. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of these kinds of projects going on, so you never know where you're going to run into them. Also, I know I mention a lot of food and beer when it comes to my travels, but there's a reason for that. Everyone's got to eat, whether you're on vacation or not, so you may as well try to find someplace good. Gina and I have three rules when it comes to where we eat on vacation. In no particular order, never eat Mexican food on vacation, unless we're in Mexico. Nothing is going to ever beat the Tex-Mex we can get at home. In fact, going out to one of our preferred Tex-Mex restaurants is always one of the first things we do when we get back from vacation. This is the most recent addition to our vacation rules, and we learned this one the hard way. It doesn't matter that TripAdvisor says a Mexican restaurant is the best place to eat in Salt Lake City. They're wrong. Being the preference of the majority does not make it correct. Never eat at a restaurant that we have at home. This means no national chains. Regional chains are acceptable if we don't have them here. Gina's mad at me because we can no longer go to Tropical Cafe when we're in Hot Springs because they now have locations in San Antonio. I was in Miami with friends for a bachelor party. Did we sample the amazing Cuban food or perhaps partake of some Atlantic seafood? No, we went to fucking Outback Steakhouse. This dovetails right into the last rule. Whenever possible, try something you've never had before. New England fog at a coffee shop in Portsmouth, New Hampshire? Earl Grey tea, steamed milk, and maple syrup? Sign me up! Elk steak at Via Roma in Hot Springs, Arkansas? I'll try that. Oh, dear God, that was so good! Soapberry parfait for dessert in Vancouver? I'll try that. Dear God, that was vile! Most atrocious thing I've ever eaten. But you never know until you try. That includes trying local breweries and distilleries. We were in Mazatlan a few years ago. Here we are in a beautiful town on the Pacific coast of Mexico. The two closest restaurants to the hotel were Applebee's and Burger King. If you want to eat there, why travel hundreds of miles from home in the first place? While in Mazatlan, we caught a Winter League baseball game. We don't do many sporting events on our trips. I dragged Gina to some Cubs games in Chicago, caught a Raptors game in Toronto. We went to a St. Louis Blues game that was played at the same time as the Cardinals played in the National League Championship Series. The arena was barely half full, and you could see people in the suites watching baseball instead of the hockey game right outside their room. The only other game I can remember is minor league baseball with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Myrtle Beach itself is a very nice beach, and it is wonderful for people who have no concerns about how they look in a swimsuit. All the eye candy is sugar-free. For South Carolina, I actually preferred our time in Charleston. We went there 1 year and split the vacation between there and Savannah, Both places are very friendly and very, very mossy. The Savannah Ghost Tour / Bar Hop was so much fun. Both places have history that needs to be learned before others try to scrub it away. Savannah used to be the place where I had the best shrimp and grits. That distinction is now held by Biloxi, Mississippi, at a beachfront restaurant called The Reef. Instead of soupy grits with grilled shrimp, they make grit cakes and set them in a bowl of shrimp and alligator sausage in a cream sauce. Heavenly. The beaches of Mississippi, Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida are simply beautiful. Sure, the typical Hawaii beaches were quite nice, and I greatly enjoyed the Carolinas, but if you're going to stay within the United States, the northeastern Gulf beaches are the way to go. I say typical Hawaii beaches because the black sand beach in Maui is an absolute must. I talked about it in a podcast about a year and a half ago. The best beaches we've experienced have all been in the Caribbean. Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Bermuda were all wonderful. But Seven Mile Beach in the Grand Caymans is spectacular. When you're in the water up to your neck, but can still look down and see your feet clearly, you know you're on a great beach. We went there on a cruise and only had a few hours. It's high up on our list of places to return. Cruises are okay if you don't mind sampling a little bit of a lot of places and dealing with crowds of people. We like all-inclusive resorts where we have easy access to a beach. I really enjoyed the Majestic Elegance Resort in Dominican Republic, with a much quieter adults-only area. I recommend taking the Mini Cooper driving tour of Punta Cana and getting up early to try to catch the green flash at sunrise, which I did and got to check off my bucket list. There are some touristy things that I would recommend you do in some of these places. Of course, many of them revolve around food. I've had a lobster dinner in Maine, a luau in Hawaii, maple anything in Vermont, clam chowder in a sourdough bread bowl on the San Francisco Wharf, crab cakes in Baltimore, a cheeseburger at the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago, key lime pie in Key West, and beignets at Café du Monde in New Orleans. I recommend going to the original in the French Quarter at least once, even though it will likely be packed with tourists. But if you just want the treat and don't care about the ambiance, go to one of their other locations and you'll get the same quality without the long wait. However, for the best fried chicken you will ever have in your life, go to Willie Mae's while you're in New Orleans. I recommend getting there by the time they open so you don't have to wait too long for a table. The meal was so good. I wanted to go into the kitchen and give everyone a hug. Other than food, I've watched The Shawshank Redemption in Zihuatanejo, been to the top of Willis Tower in Chicago, although the far superior views are at Hancock Tower, driven the Sea to Sky Highway in British Columbia, stop at Shannon Falls and Brandywine Falls along the way, listened to the song Montego Bay in Montego Bay, took a tour in an Amish carriage in Pennsylvania, visited the Coronado Hotel where they filmed Some Like It Hot, walked on Beale Street, and photographed Niagara Falls, the tugboats in Portsmouth, and the Make Way for Duckling statues and the Cheers sign in Boston. Sometimes something unexpected happens. Like 10 years ago this month, when we see an adorable stray kitten someone abandons in a hotel parking lot in Texas City, and the management is getting mad at the staff for feeding it, so we take him home with us, and he becomes our lovable Max. Texas beaches may suck, but that made it a good road trip. Many of the best days of my life were on trips with Gina. She makes it all worthwhile. I mentioned the trip to Arches National Park earlier. We loved our trip to the Lanai Cat Sanctuary so much, we still talk about moving to the island to work there. Similarly, I could spend days at both the Hemingway House with its polydactyl cats and the Butterfly Sanctuary in Key West. The tour of the Mayan ruins at Tulum was a damn near perfect day, filled with beauty, nature, and love for each other. And in a year of turmoil, could not have come at a better time, because as great as it was to experience all those things, it would be nothing without her. Even with all that, we've never been outside of North America. We've talked about visiting the countries where our ancestors come from. For me, that would be Ireland, Scotland, and Germany. For her, that would be Italy. We've seen so many beautiful things about Greece, we'd like to include that as well. I've often thought certain landmarks like the pyramids of Giza or the Taj Mahal would be interesting, but I don't think I could drag Gina there with me. For now, if the world doesn't go crazy again in the next few months, we're finally going to take that trip to New Mexico that we planned over a year ago. And if that doesn't work, we'll probably go back to Pensacola. If I had the money, the top dream vacation for me would be a trip to Australia, for a tour of the big cities and to get as close to Uluru as I can. Of course, any trip I take there absolutely must happen during football season so I can watch a home game for the Geelong Cats. Yeah, dreams are great. But as I tell Gina whenever we try to decide on our next destination, wherever she goes, that's where I want to be. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.